Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What the business, baby boys and girls? What going down today, baby? What's going on, baby? Let's go. It's Friday. It's Friday. Get right. What it is, everybody. Happy Friday. It's another gloomy day here in Phoenix, Arizona. I kind of like it, though. The weather's cooling down. The skin's starting to want to be covered up a little bit, and all is well. You always pay the price living here in Phoenix in the summertime, and then once the summertime's over, it's a lot like heaven for the rest of the year until the next summer rolls around. Appreciate you guys hanging in here with me, coming to see me on this Friday. I know you guys got a lot of places you could be, a lot of things you could do. So the fact that you're willing to sit down and hang out with us on the channel here for a little bit, hang out with us on the podcast, means a lot. And I don't think I say that enough. So start saying that a little more. Make sure you subscribe. Go ahead and hit that. I'm gonna take an inch. You're watching this right now, and try to turn it into a mile. Hit that subscribe button, as it helps us out a lot, helps us continue to bring you the best football content and others that we could possibly bring you. What's going on with me, man? I went down to the Red Hawk Academy this morning, grabbed me a Java, grabbed me a burrito, and that's about the only thing I'm running on right now is a little egg and taters turkey burrito. I'm looking forward to getting something to eat after this. But we're here right now. We throw a little 6 milligram in the lip and we get down the road. That's how we do it on here, baby. I kind of like doing this podcast a little hungry because it brings that hungry energy to the show. You know what I mean? Probably be a short one today. I'm thinking like half an hour. I mean, I always say that. And then we end up hanging a little longer. But I thought we would just recap the Thursday night game from last night today. And then obviously we'll preview a little bit of the games this weekend. I'm just holding out hope that these Cincinnati Bengals are able to revitalize this season in Green Bay this year, or this week, sorry. But this year too. You know, it all starts with this one game. And I looked at the spreads this morning. Still, Vegas has still got the Bengals as 14-point dogs. 14 points. That's one of the biggest spreads I've ever seen following pro football. So we will see. Apparently, Ja'Marr Chase has acquired an illness. I think he's probably sick of this organization. But they're saying he's questionable for Sunday. They released the Kettering Health injury report today on Twitter, and Ja'Marr Chase is looking to have himself some kind of flu game. It doesn't really make sense to me because I keep seeing Jamar doing media interviews this week talking about Flacco, Joe Flacco. Something about Flacco I just trust more, man. I can't put my finger on it. Something about Joe Flacco. I personally enjoy, there's a comedian, his name's Stavros Halkias, he's a fat guy, funny fat guy. And every time the Ravens lose, I guess he's a Baltimore guy, he gets on Twitter, gets on Instagram, he's like, how the fuck did the Ravens lose you? Thank you for the sub, XPHSAGRGSD. I don't know how you pronounce that. Thank you for the sub. It's that little bring ding ding. That's how I know it's from Kick or whatever. Because you always see them damn Rampage Jackson clips. Damn, man. I wonder whatever happened to old Rajah Jackson. He never got arrested, to my knowledge. You know, I'm sure they got it handled and all that stuff. That was a really unfortunate situation. But that noise that just happened when someone followed me on Kick right there, it always reminds me of Rampage because you always see the clips from Rampage's streams and it's just bring, gring, gring. It's that same noise. So it always reminds me of Rampage for whatever reason. Let me think. Yeah, we're obviously going to get into the Thursday night game here in a little bit. I'm just shooting the breeze with you guys right quick as we embark on this beautiful Friday. You know, it's been raining a lot. It's been raining a lot lately. I've been thinking about Norbit a lot recently. Y'all remember that Eddie Murphy movie, Norbit? That movie probably accounts for, if you think about the formative phases of life, that movie Norbit probably accounts for 20% of my personality. Something like that. And it's been raining here, so I keep thinking about that clip from Norbit when, big old Respucia, she's getting in the car. And she said, God damn it, Norbit, how many times I got to tell you when to drive my car? Don't adjust my seat.
I didn't adjust your seat.
You need to let it go.
I didn't adjust.
She beats the shit out of him. But there's this one other scene in the movie, and this is where the rain comes into it, where she gets back in the car and says, God damn it, Norbit, how many times I got to tell you? And he goes, well, Respucia, you've just been eating a lot lately. And then she like flinches at him. And he's like, I mean, it's a car. It's a car. Car must be shrinking. She looks at him. She goes, you might be right. It's been raining a lot lately. All this moist weather.
So I've just been saying that shit. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I love that shit. Yeah, I mean, we could have one day, man, we might just do a whole Norbit episode where I just, because I can, man, if you gave me a script, if you gave me the script to that movie Norbit, I think I probably know 45% of the lines, and that's being really conservative, you know, all the way down from the pimps, Pope Sweet Jesus and Lord Have Mercy. I've talked about them on this show before. By the way, I got some kind of unit on top of my house that spins. I think it's part of the AC unit, and when it's real windy, when it's real rainy like it is, it does a lot of squeaking. So I hope my mentioning it doesn't cause people that didn't notice it to now notice it. I hope that it just doesn't pick up on the mic and you guys are like, what the hell is he talking about? So anyway, we got the Eagles and the Giants. And I didn't even really talk about it last night because I didn't think it was going to be the type of contest that it was. I think I said on the show yesterday that it was either going to be a bludgeoning by the Eagles or a dogfight because it's a division game. And it actually ended up being a bludgeoning by the Giants. Eagles offense looks like they are just lost right now. Jalen Hurts, I learned, is on his fourth offensive coordinator in 4 years. And I think that has something to do with all of this. You obviously play this game in the Meadowlands. And when I go back, when I went back and watched some of the film, it was a much more dominating performance by the Giants than I originally thought. Jackson Dart is a real threat on the ground. He was the first quarterback last night. Sorry, third quarterback in NFL history to eclipse 50-plus rushing yards in each of his first three starts. Lamar did it, and then one other guy did it that's in that same generation of quarterbacks. I can't remember. It might be Josh Allen. I don't want to spread misinformation. But third quarterback to do that. And I'm watching the film, and I was really impressed with Dart's creativity in and outside of the pocket. The way he's able to shake, move, the way he feels the backside defensive end, the backside nine technique coming in, and was able to shrug a lot of these guys off. And, you know, I buffed on the Eagles D-line a little bit early in the season, right in the preseason, saying they were the best unit in football. And I think they're still pretty damn good. I'm not gonna, I don't have anything really to say about the Eagles defense on this show today, other than the fact that I saw Dart shake Bond, what's his name, 53 for Philly, Zach Bond maybe. I saw Dart shake Bond right out of his boots on his way to a rushing touchdown. Exciting Whites are back. That's very Barstool of me. But Exciting Whites are back. Okay? There's a lot of talk today about the all-white team in the NFL and how Dart and Scadabo belong on it. I think Scadabo shows everybody how transformative mentality can be in football. Because he's not a physically imposing guy at all. I've never met him in person, but seeing him stand next to Ryan Fitzpatrick, seeing him stand next to big Andrew Whitworth, he doesn't look to be an imposing guy. I think it's just a complete mental, what's the word I'm looking for? You think about teach tape on film, right? When you're showing young cats film, or you're showing guys film from the past, and you're teaching them exactly how they should handle a certain situation. Scadabo is the human embodiment of teach tape when it comes to transformative mentality as a football player, because he's not imposing physically, but he just does not care. I think about the guy's lifespan a lot. I think about whether he'd be able to remember his grandchildren's names at all. But boy, is he going to make some money if he keeps playing the way he's playing. I saw at least two touchdowns from him last night. That might be the number. I might have missed one. I'm not sure. But the glaring thing for me, watching this film, taking in this game, was the struggles of the Eagles offense. And I'm going to take a moment here, because a bunch of Eagles fans flooded my comments on TikTok 2 or 3 weeks ago when the team was still undefeated. And I posted a video saying that Jalen Hurts cannot effectively throw the ball downfield. And you wouldn't believe these comments. Okay? Oh, here's a guy that doesn't know ball. Here's a guy that doesn't know ball. I probably messed up putting the Fly Eagles Fly hashtag on the video. Here's a guy that doesn't know ball. Really? What you got to say now, playboy? Sorry, I'm not praying on anybody's downfall, by the way. I promise. I ain't. But it feels good to be a bit vindicated. It feels good. I'm not going to lie to you. So I just needed to get that off my chest. Eagles with 40. Let me think. Yep. If you take away the four tush pushes in a row on that drive, and I think it was the second quarter, if you take away those four plays, 46 snaps on offense.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Forty-four of them were out of the gun. 44 of them were out of the gun. And I think Dan Orlovsky dropped this stat. Where is it? The Eagles' offense is throwing the ball 80% of the time out of the gun. And when they're under center, they run the ball 85% of the time. So you had some diverse opinions from Eagles players after the game. Their best offensive lineman, Lane Johnson, questioned their OC. I can't remember their OC's name right now. Lane Johnson questioned the play calling and called it predictable. Saquon, being the man he is, went up and defended their OC. Saquon had 8 carries for 58 yards in the first half. He's toting the rock a little bit. But then they slowed it down. They start to get down. They start to leave the run game. And Saquon finishes with 12 carries for 68 yards. Over the last 3 years, and I don't mean to be a stat merchant here, but I do like numbers. Because numbers reflect truth. Mathematics are the language of nature. Okay? So I don't want to be a stat merchant. I did watch the film. But for the sake of the show, I think it's helpful to add context here. The Eagles are down, over the last 3 years, 40% on their RPOs. If you think about an RPO quarterback, a guy that fits, a guy that would be easy for, RPOs, triple options. Wouldn't you think Jalen Hurts would be in that conversation? I feel like I sound like a hater when I talk about the Eagles, when I talk about Jalen Hurts. Do the Eagles get preferential treatment from the refs in the league? Absolutely. That's a fact. You look at those 4 tush pushes in a row, and the guards jumped egregiously on at least one of them. Some people were saying the guards were jumping on all of them. I saw one that was, I think it was the second tush push out of the 4 they ran in a row. Or maybe it was the first. Egregious. How them guards were jumping. And they showed it on the replay at MetLife after the play happened, and you could hear the crowd just pouring over booing. It's ridiculous. The league's got to implement some kind of system where if it's that blatant, that they can retroactively call a false start. It's ridiculous. If I was a Giants fan in that situation, I would have been throwing Mad Dog 40-40 bottles on the field after that. It's bullshit, and they end up scoring on that drive. You know, the Giants kicked their ass and it didn't matter, but, I mean, if you think about that drive being taken away, you're talking more like 33-10. That's an ass whipping. And they did whip their ass even with that shit. So where was I going? Look, I don't think there's something going on in this Philadelphia locker room. Something going on in this facility down there. I don't think they trust each other right now. I don't see that. And you see these conflicting opinions by the players in the post-game pressers. They might not be in a good spot right now, man. At 4-2, which is crazy. But we see the ineffectiveness of this offense. Everybody in the media is saying this, so I hesitate to say this, but I do agree with it. They've got all these weapons, and the offense is just inadequate. Everybody in the media is dumping on this Eagles offense today. And I want to be different, but in this case, I can't. I just can't. They're not playing to Jalen Hurts' strengths. I think that is the biggest issue. And there's also a lot of talk about plugging and playing. I don't like hypotheticals, but I think to some extent they do help put things into context. I don't like hypotheticals, but how many quarterbacks in the league do you think you could plug and play into Philly's offense and have success? I really don't know the answer to that, because the main course of this dinner is that tush push. And Jalen Hurts, he does squat 700 pounds. I saw clips of him from Bama. He's a big, strong boy. Somebody on Twitter said about Jalen Hurts, they said he's the only quarterback whose ass cheeks are more valuable than his arm. You know? Somebody else said if you plug Jalen Hurts into the Cincinnati Bengals offense, he'd be putting the same output out there as Burrow. And somebody said, dude, he'd be in the UFL if that were the case. Those are what's that guy's name? The Samoan guy that goes on Fajoco. He said that. But so they're not playing to his strengths. I mentioned earlier, Jalen Hurts' strengths are the RPO and the triple option. And you got the best back in the league, arguably, back there behind him. So if you start with that, I think you have a lot more success than you're having right now offensively with the Eagles. And you get these receivers involved. Devontae Smith's come alive the last couple weeks. A.J. Brown, I saw, had a nice catch or two. But it seems like you either don't get these receivers the ball and you ground and pound and you bully people. I do love that style of football, by the way. I don't want to sound like an Eagles hater. I love that style of football. Grind your teeth down. Everyone was tweeting, complaining about the four tush pushes in a row. Listen, man, if you can't stop it, go bully them. Go bully them. But you can't jump before the snap. That's preferential treatment. That was what I had a problem with. You know, the Eagles have become, well, they have been. I don't know if they are going to be. The NFL is as wide open as I've ever seen it, by the way, this year. The Eagles have been the class of the NFL lately. So I think it's really fun and easy for people to just jump on them, kick them while they're down. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to bring the facts to the table. But I would be lying if there wasn't a little bit of preferential treatment to these kind of teams by the league. And I think that's why people jump on them. But when you're winning, it's really easy to, you know, cognitive bias is a real thing. When teams are winning consistently, it's really easy for people to pick out conveniently, you know, oh, they're getting preferential treatment there. They're getting preferential treatment here. They're getting preferential treatment there. I did see a clean breakup by Eagles DB. I think it was Keely Ringo, number 7, had a beautiful breakup in the end zone, and they did throw a flag. So I think people tend to overlook the things that go against the great teams, and they emphasize the things that do go for the great teams. And that, and then they call it preferential treatment. But the tush push, 4 in a row, the guards are jumping. It was bullshit. But they got to play to Hurts' strengths. RPO, triple option, establish the run, go from there, get the receivers involved in the RPO game. They're not doing any play action. They're not doing any naked boots. There's not any creativity in the play calling right now. And I will say, like, do you do kind of a reverse of what Brian Callahan did in Tennessee, giving up play calling duties to the OC? Do you do kind of a reverse if you're Nick Sirianni, and as Sirianni, take the play calling duties back? He was the OC when I was in Indianapolis in 2019. I used to listen to him talk about the scheme at lunch every day because we shared the cafeteria with everybody. He used to sit real close to Nick Sirianni because I wanted to hear him talk about shit. Again, the exciting whites. Look, first Thursday night football win in 10 years for New York Giants Football Club. First NFC East win since 2023. And the Giants, it's kind of a weird feeling. Come here, buddy. You want to come up? Come here. My dog's in here. He always knows when I'm on camera. Pop up. Here. Come see me. It start raining. My dog's sitting right here, and he's all wet. Was it raining? Come on up. Come on. Sorry, guys. Come on. Well, yeah. You want to show everybody how cute you are? Come here. There you go. Yeah. Show everybody your handsome face, dog. Oh, my goodness. He is being difficult. Oh, he's pulling my... Sorry, guys. There you go. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Here. Turn to the camera. There you go. What do you got to say? Oh, my gosh. What do you got to... Okay. All right. At least you guys got to see him. What was I talking about? Sorry, boys. Yeah, the Giants, they... You come off a win like this, you feel kind of conflicted, right? Because you have a loss last week to the most ass dog water team in the one of them in the Saints. We'll see if my Bengals are in contention for that. The Jets are obviously ass dog water, low class of the league, but the Saints are one of them, and they come off a bad loss to the Saints last week, and then you beat the defending champs this week. So it's kind of a conflicting feeling if you're the Giants. You should really be 3-3 instead of 2-4. But I, you know, there was one play that really stood out to me, and this is going to be much to the dismay of my audio listeners because they won't know what the fuck's going on, but that's all right. It was this deep ball miss by Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith. Let's take a look at it. Absolutely brutal. So I'm going to mute that. You know, I can't hear the video. Appreciate everybody participating in the chat, by the way. Kevin Petullo is the OC. That's right. Kim Carter says, love you. I love you, too. I'm just looking at the chat. AJ Brown saying he don't recall the meetings with Hurts and Barkley. Goddard having a good game as well. Okay. So you guys see what's going on screen here. I had a couple thoughts about this. You know, if you look at Jalen Hurts back there, watch him throw right here. It looks like he's throwing to avoid the hit. You see that? He's thinking about this guy on the backside. I think it's Carter right there, 51.
Kayvon Thibodeau. But he's thinking about getting hit on the backside. Watch the way he throws it right here. He's not really stepping into it. His body's falling backwards instead of driving his back foot forward. Watch his back foot. It's kind of a halfway motion, right? So, and then look at his left foot. Look at his left foot. His left foot's facing out like he's throwing a 12-yard out. Okay? Let's see it again. Look. Watch the left foot. Facing out. It looks like you're throwing an out instead of a go, right? You got to deliver that ball right where his face mask and his numbers are, right in the breadbasket. And in order to do that, you got to step into this throw. I'm not hating on Jalen Hurts, but everybody that said that I didn't know ball because Jalen Hurts can't push it downfield a couple weeks ago, take a look. Take a goddamn look. I'm not hating. I want everybody to play good ball. I want to make sure I'm clear about that. But I like being right. Watch his left foot. Out. You step into that. And the reason he's not stepping into that is because he's worried about Thibodeau and Abdul Carter on the backside, 51-5. Look at him. He's thinking about getting hit. He doesn't know if Thibodeau's there or not. So, if I'm your coach, do I pull you off to the side and say, come hang out with me until you can make that throw? I mean, what does that do to a guy's confidence? What does it do? You got to step into that throw. And this...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I wanted to make sure I broke this down, but, you know, I might have to clip this and tag all the Eagles fans that said I didn't know ball. That's all I'm going to say. I'm being petty. I'm not going to do that. I might think about doing it, and I will do it. No, I'm not praying on these guys' downfall. I want him to hit this throw, dude. But you got to think about how a play like this demoralizes your team. Your leader has got to drop this ball in there, and he fails under the bright lights. And a lot of this is, in my opinion, that quarterbacks aren't being taught fundamentals anymore. You go to these quarterback coaches, you go to these QB gurus. A buddy of mine is incredible at it, and he does teach the fundamentals, and he focuses on the minutiae. But a lot of these, and I'm not saying this about Hurts, but I'm saying this about quarterbacks in general these days, from what I see, from what I hear from coaches, from what I hear from guys like my buddy, a lot of these guys, their parents aren't going to pay these quarterback coaches the big money for private lessons if they're focusing on boring stuff, minutiae. The kid comes home and they say, oh, how was your workout with, you know, coach whoever today? And they say, it was boring. We just focused on one thing the whole time. That's what it's got to be. And so what this play tells me, under the bright lights, when your team needs you to drop it in,
You got to let that subconscious mind kick in and not think about, oh, shit, I got to drop this in or else I'm screwed or else Dupe Dog is going to be talking about me on In the Jar the next day with all his viewers. You know, you can't be thinking about all that stuff. You got to rely on the fundamental work that you've put in over years and years and years and years to kick in that moment so that you can rely on your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind is connected to your body, and the only way that you program the right way to make this throw into your subconscious mind and subsequently your body is from doing boring, fundamental shit over and over and over and over and over again, even when you're at this level, for the rest of time. And so if you are successful in staying consistent and focusing on the boring fundamental stuff and focusing on the minutia of the throwing motion, I'm not a quarterback expert. I played linebacker, by the way. But fundamentals and practicing them are the same in any skill, the same in any endeavor. And what this clip tells me, what this play tells me, we'll look at Jalen Hurts' footwork again, is that when the bright lights come on, your subconscious mind is not programmed enough to have that left foot step forward and drive into the throw so that you do drop it in the bread basket and your team does get that 7 points and probably a huge emotional boost with some momentum attached to it. And this might be a completely different game if he drops it in. But again, watch the left foot one more time. Out. You look like, if I didn't know where he was throwing it, I would guess he's throwing a 12-yard out to the sideline. But no, it's a go. It's a go ball. And you got to think about how many times does a receiver get open deep like this, especially in the pros. You got to think about that. It's not common, and that's a throw you got to make. And so I'm coming for everybody's neck that told me I didn't know ball when I said Jalen Hurts couldn't push it deep a couple weeks ago. Again, I'm not hating. I just like being right. I want Jalen Hurts to eat. I want the Eagles to be great. I want everybody to be great. I want my Cincinnati Bengals to be greater than everybody else who's great. But I want everybody to be great. I'm not hating. Okay, so I don't want any Eagles fans in the chat, in the comment, saying you're a hater, you don't know ball. I said 3 weeks ago that he couldn't push the deep ball. And that play that I just had on the screen for 8,000 minutes tells us that. It tells us that even as a pro, there's still fundamental things that you can work on. Because if you were working on the fundamentals of a throwing motion, you make that, you drop that in, especially as a pro, you drop that in there 100 times, 101 times out of 100. That's all. So I did tell you guys it would be a shorter episode. I'm going to let you guys go. It's a beautiful Friday evening. I've got some plans myself. They're not right now, but I am going to take some time to hang out with the pup. Head on into the weekend. Let's take a look at the... Let's take a look at the NFL slate for this weekend and make some predictions, and then I'll send you guys on the road here. So we had the Eagles lose to the Giants 34-17. Excuse me, I said 33 earlier, last night. Okay, you got the Broncos at the New York Jets. The MetLife crew is going to have to work to get that turf, get that midfield logo and those end zones ready for Sunday. I'm sure they already... Oh, nope, it's in London. This game's in London. They put the shittiest games and the shittiest teams out there in London, man. It's almost like if you're a bad team in the NFL, you get penalized for being bad by getting sent to fucking London. And they don't let them out of the hotel in these countries because... You know, the UK is ridden with crime and all these immigrants. You can't go out on the streets or else you're going to get stabbed. My buddy from the UK was telling me about that problem because they, you know, God forbid you have guns in the United Kingdom, right? But they got knives and they'll stab your ass. They'll stab you for a damn Twinkie, I feel like, down there, man. And they know who's American and who's not most of the time. If I ever went down there,
I'd have to start talking like this to make sure that, please don't stab me, sir.
If I went to Ireland, I'd have no problem.
No fucking problem, yeah? I own this fucking team. Michael Perry, a fart in the wind.
Oh, man, I wish Connor would come back. He's just too rich. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God.
Get the red panties, babe. We don't got enough money.
All right, I'm done. Seahawks and Jaguars. Look, I like the Seahawks in this game. The Jaguars are highly emotional right now. They're having success that this organization's not hadn't really been used to recently. I think they are running high at 4-1. I think the Seahawks are a good team, and I think the Seahawks are primed to come out there and punch them in the mouth a little bit. We'll see how that goes. I got Seahawks on the road, it looks like, in Jacksonville. Chargers at Dolphins. It's hard to go against the Chargers. The Dolphins are another team in the league. They're in just a state of dysphoria right now. I'd argue that Mike McDaniel's seat is one of the hottest in the NFL, and I also think that Mike McDaniel is much more suited to be a coordinator than he is a head coach. There's just a lot of guys like that out there. They're very impressive as offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, and they don't have success as head coaches. It just seems like a different occupation, a completely different one. Okay, Rams at Ravens. Again, hard for me to go against the Rams. I feel like Lamar is probably not going to be back until after the bye week's over, and I haven't seen the Ravens have a bye week, so I'm going to go with Rams there on the road. Cardinals at Colts. Again, I might have to bet some of these games, man. I think betting's a fool's game, but golly, some of these just seem easy. But Vegas never makes it that way. They're going to make the point spreads pretty tough to make the ROI and the risk worthy there. But Cardinals at Colts, I'm taking the Colts. Again, it's pro football, man. I'm sure at least one or two of these that I've already called will go another way because you just don't know what kind of game plan coordinators are going to chef up during the week. Again, it's pro football. But I'll look like an idiot if I took the Cardinals on the road in Indy against a good Colts team, taking Colts. Cowboys at Panthers. Oh, man. Dare I say the Panthers take it at home? I'm going with Panthers. They got nothing to lose. Jerry Jones just got fined $250 for flipping someone the bird, baby. Maybe that's reason to go with the Cowboys. I don't know. All right. We'll get through. We'll fly through this, guys. Pats at Saints. All of these seem too easy. All of these seem a bit too easy. We got Saints come off a good win against the Giants last week. I got Patriots. Browns at Steelers. Hard to go against Pittsburgh there. Pittsburgh will continue their AFC North lead there. Titans at Raiders. Give me the Titans. Raiders are in a state of dysphoria right now. Give me the Titans. 49ers at Bucks. I'm going Bucks. One of the most underrated teams in football, I think, right now. Baker might be one of the best quarterbacks in football right now. Bengals at Packers. God. God. 14-point underdogs. Vegas must know something I don't because I'm real hopeful about this game. Give me Packers. I pray to God I'm wrong, dude. Give me Packers. I pray to God I'm wrong. Because if I take the Bengals, I'm going to... It's a lose-lose for me if I take the Bengals because if I take the Bengals and we lose, everybody's going to say, you're a delusional fan that doesn't give real analysis on the show. And if the Bengals win, everyone's going to be like, well, you're a fan and you only went with them because you're a fan and not because you know football. God, man, the Bengals are a thorn in my side everywhere I go, dude. Give me the Packers at Lambeau. God damn it. Hope I'm wrong. Lions at Chiefs. This could be a really fun one. And it looks like it's a Sunday night game. Why on God's green earth in week six are we still doing Monday night doubleheaders? And somebody please tell me. It's terrible. And you stagger these 1 hour. It's like, thanks for freaking nothing. You know? I didn't do the Lions Chiefs yet. Give me the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs in this one. At home, the Chiefs get it done against a good Lions team. The Chiefs, they're still not. Look, I love hating on the Chiefs as much as the next guy. But they're still, you know, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. You know what I mean? So give me the Chiefs against the Lions at home. Bills at Atlanta. Yeah. Let me think, man. Yeah. Hey, Jacob, I got Jacob in the chat. Jacob, I'm getting to this Bears Commanders game. Boy, you better strap in, boy. Bills at Falcons on a Monday night. That's an interesting one. Let me think. Bills coming off a loss. They're going to be pissed. They're a better team. Bears at Commanders to finish off. We got to get rid of these freaking Monday night doubleheaders, man. I don't know whose delusional ass in the NFL front office thinks this is a good thing. It's probably a money thing because they don't really care about fans or players anyway. They just care about their own pockets. So there's got to be something that's lining everybody's pockets about these Monday night doubleheaders, which makes no sense because we all want to watch as many games as we can, and you're robbing us of that by doing this, NFL. Bears at Commanders. How about them Bears? No, I'm just kidding. Give me the Commanders. Sorry, Jacob. Jaden Daniels back. He might not be the same, though, dude. This could be, I think this will be a highly contentious game, Bears at Commanders. I think it's going to be a one possession game either way. We'll see if Caleb Williams. We'll see if. Let me do it again. Let's see if Caleb Williams. Slay Queen. We'll see if Caleb Williams can, you know. I'm rage baiting right now. I got my buddy Jacob in the chat. He's a Bears fan. I'm rage baiting. Slay Queen. Yeah, it is a big game for the playoff picture. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bears went and won this. Again, I think it's going to be a contentious game. But, oh, man. You know what? I'm going to backtrack. Give me the Bears. Give me the Bears. I'm pandering. Give me the Bears. Give me the Bears. I haven't picked a single upset this whole week, I don't think. I think I took the Panthers over the Cowboys. It's fun to hate on the Cowboys, you know, because they continually sell themselves and they don't put anything out there. I'm pandering. Give me the Bears over the Commanders. I think Cardinals at Colts could be a dangerous upset alert. Maybe we'll add that segment, upset alert, so that I make sure I'm taking upsets every week because it happens. You know, I don't want to miss any upsets here. But other than that, I mean, I guess you could call the Seahawks over the Jags an upset. No, the Seahawks are favored in Vegas. What if the Dolphins gave the Chargers a scare? And Browns Steelers, look, say what you want about the Browns. Clown show circus, I understand it. I agree with it. But AFC North football is AFC North football. And that's another can of worms I was thinking about opening today, but didn't quite get to it. Michael Irving went on, I think he posted a YouTube video or something, had a ton of views. I saw it on my homepage, and he was ranting about how someone said Deion Sanders couldn't cover Tyreek Hill, and he was basically talking about today's game versus the game they played back when Troy Aikman was the quarterback of the Cowboys, and how it was much more physical. The league takes care of receivers. Back when Michael Irvin and those guys were playing, even when I was growing up, watching the AFC North, Chad Johnson, Ray Lewis, that kind of era, if you're a receiver, you're not running a single route without getting clipped. You know what I mean? It was a different era, different mentality, different kind of toughness. Every time I go on a date with a girl that says my dad played football in the 80s, I think, ah, damn. I know martial arts, but I wouldn't want to tussle with a guy that played football in the 80s. Or 90s, or early 2000s. You know, early 2000s is when I really started. I'm 28. Early 2000s is when I really started watching football. And I remember just watching Chad Johnson go across the middle on the Baltimore Ravens and getting clapped every play. CTE, every play. And it's the best. And I miss it. But now we're, you know, we're worried about safety and all this stuff. It's like, how the hell did everyone survive back then? You know, I think it's just a softer game. You got guys like Mahomes tiptoeing the sideline for 5 yards because he knows the rules and he's taking advantage of the rules. I don't know if we're ever going to get that game back. That version of the game might be lost on us. But all that to say, the Browns-Steelers matchup reminded me of the AFC North back when I was a kid in 2006, 2007, 2008. And how, if you're a receiver playing in that version of the game, it's a lot different than it is now. I don't know if you have a guy like Tyreek Hill being able to eat like he's been able to eat in the AFC North in the early 2000s. Even when I met Odell Beckham Jr. Down in my old neighborhood, he was just down there hanging out. It was crazy. And I stopped my car. I got out and I went over, shook his hand. I was like, what? Not to sound racist, but what are you doing here? You know, and I talked to OBJ for like 30 minutes. It was right after the Chiefs. It was 2023, and I think it was right after the Chiefs beat the Ravens, either in the division round or the championship round. And of course he was telling me he wasn't getting the ball enough. But then I asked him. I was like, what team you want to head to next? And he was like, anywhere not in AFC North, because them boys pound. Them boys pound. And that was just 2 or 3 years ago. So, yeah, that's the AFC North reminded me of that discussion. Michael Irvin saying that those cats from his generation would be able to come into the league and eat today still, and the guys in the league today might not have been able to go into the league then and eat. But everybody says that. You know, even when you're in middle school playing basketball, you'd be like, you know, you're an eighth grader and you watch these sixth graders play and you think, these damn sixth graders, if you gave them 2 years, they still wouldn't be able to play with us. Our class was the best. It's always that kind of bias when people are talking about their playing days. So take that with a grain of salt. But I do remember the AFC North back in the early 2000s when I was watching my Bengals be terrible all the time, except for 2005 when the Pittsburgh Steelers blew out my then sweet Prince Carson Palmer's knee in the, I think it was divisional round. That was one of the best Bengals teams I've ever seen. Obviously pre-Joe Burrow. Okay. So that's my preview for the week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're watching this, you're new to the channel, please subscribe.
Thank you.
And we'll send you guys off into a beautiful weekend. We got college football tomorrow. We got pro football on Sunday. And we will be back to talk about all of it on Monday here on In the Jar. Subscribe to the channel. I could go live on Madden here. I haven't decided whether I have it or not yet. The game's just been pissing me off lately. The game has just been really bugging me. I've been getting my ass handed to me by people who don't understand ball. Maybe that says something about me. Maybe I need to get an Adderall prescription. Maybe I need to be 12 years old again with all the time in the world. I don't know. I don't know what's going to make me a better Madden player. So, yeah, I got a little, let me think I'm going to say this. I got a little date tonight, but it's not till later. So I'm definitely going to clean the house and maybe head over to the local medicine man, get a little smoke, open the mind a little bit. That's what I'm thinking about doing. So, in terms of Madden, we will see. We will, as I tell any woman in my life that makes an outlandish request, we will talk about it. We will think about it. It's just been pissing me off. I'm not going to lie. I hate losing. You know, before I was streaming Madden, every time I play an online game and lose, I would not want to play for like 48 hours. I'd get pissed off. I hate losing. I can't stand it. Especially when you got some smooth-brained idiot playing you that's blitzing every play, but he's getting home and you don't, any adjustment you make, it doesn't matter. He just keeps beating you, going deep, taking the top off your defense even though you're in cover four. I hate it. So that's my rant about Madden. That's, you know, there's been a couple days this week where I ran an episode and I was like, dude, fuck Madden. But I do have subscribers on here. I do have you know, fans of the channel on here that really do love the stream. So we're never going to abandon that. All right, you guys have an incredible weekend. I will either see you on Madden, or if I don't wanna, I'll see you guys on Monday, bare minimum, back for the podcast. Take care.